Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Saturday, the 31st of October, 2020. Here are some of the top headlines. Happy Halloween! Stay tuned for how this year's holiday could differ, and in some ways stay the same, to Halloween's in years past. Lori Loughlin is off to prison. The actress reported on Friday to begin her 2-month sentence. She was sentenced along with her husband Massimo Giannulli for paying $500,000 in bribes to get their two daughters into the University of Southern California as fake rowing recruits. Giannulli was sentenced to 5 months. And the parent company of Arby's and Sonic is buying Dunkin'. Inspire Brands will purchase the chain, which also includes Baskin-Robbins, for an estimated $11.3 billion, and will take on the company's debt. A reminder, you can find us on Twitter at USA Today Podcast, where you can stay up on 5 Things, and also other USA Today shows. Also, if you let us know your thoughts, your tweet could be featured right here on the pod. That's at USA Today Podcast on Twitter. Now, onto the show. We're now truly into the home stretch before Tuesday's election. According to the USA Today average of averages, based on data from Real Clear Politics and 538, Democratic nominee Joe Biden is up 8.3 percentage points on President Donald Trump nationally. That's about a point higher than Biden was at the end of September, but 2 points lower than his edge a couple weeks ago. In 2016, late polls also shifted in Trump's direction, but Hillary Clinton's average lead was only around 2 percentage points 4 days before Election Day, about a quarter of Biden's lead. Meanwhile, Trump did gain in 9 of 12 contested states earlier this week, but Biden leads in 10 of them. And if states end up going according to their current polling averages, with non-swing states going the way they went in 2016, Biden would win decisively. Still, the swing states are very much up for grabs. Biden's polling average advantage is higher than 5 points in just 4 of the 12. A staggering more than 80 million people have already voted. And on the Sunday show of 5 Things, reporters Alan Gomez, Joey Garrison, and Deborah Barfield Berry will join to talk about voting in this not-so-normal election year. Here's part of their talk.
When everything seems to be out of control, we've all been going through this COVID pandemic. It just seems that every month brings another level of chaos to our lives. So especially in this year, the one thing that you can control is your vote.
People question whether we'd be able to pull off an election during this pandemic. And it turns out, not only have we pulled it off, but we're going to have a record turnout. I think we're on pace for the highest share of the eligible voting population to vote since perhaps 1908. And so I think any American, just to carry out their civic duty and to make us into a true democracy, should want to be a part of that.
When I've talked to many of the experts and advocates, they make it clear that while there are reports about voter suppression and while there are concerns about violence and intimidation and all those other things at the polls, they wanted to make it clear that the election systems work, that democracy works, and that they don't want voters to be so afraid that they don't go to the polls. Many people fought hard and even died just so they could have that right to access to the ballot. And particularly in a year when we've lost some civil rights icons, including Representative John Lewis and Reverend Vivian, if you don't do it for yourself, do it for those before you who fought hard to make sure that you could do it.
Be sure to tune in to the Sunday edition of 5 Things with Claire Thornton for more of their conversation. And stay with USAtoday.com/elections for all the latest ahead of Tuesday. The week ending on Thursday set a new record in the U.S. for coronavirus cases in a week. That's particularly disturbing because the second highest record was set in the week ending Wednesday, the third highest the week ending Tuesday, the fourth highest, well, you get the idea. There was also a new daily record for cases on Friday with more than 99,000. And the surge is virtually nationwide, with 47 states reporting more cases this past week than the week before. Daily deaths from the virus in the U.S. are still down from a peak of more than 2,500 a day in April, but there are still roughly 1,000 people dying every day. Still, the country seems unlikely to do any kind of firm shutdown, so much of the focus remains on approving a vaccine, something President Donald Trump says is weeks away.
Under my plan, we will deliver a safe vaccine to the American people in just a matter of weeks, and it will be something that will be very, very special. And we are rounding the turn on the pandemic with or without vaccine. We have the vaccine. It's going to come. But even without it, we're rounding the turn. Seniors will be first in line to get it.
The topic of the pandemic is front and center across the aisle on the campaign trail as well, with Joe Biden hammering the Trump administration's response in Iowa on Friday.
Nearly 1,700 dead right here in Iowa. Iowa hit a record number of daily cases yesterday with over 2,300 and a record number of hospitalizations, more than 600. We've now hit 9 million cases nationwide, a tragic milestone. And millions of people are out of work, on the edge, and they can't see the light. They don't know. It just looks dark right now for them. 82,000 Iowa jobs lost in this pandemic. And still, they've not come back. 70,000 jobs lost in Iowa since Donald Trump became president.
In all, the U.S. has seen more than 9 million cases of COVID-19 and around 230,000 deaths. Around the world, there have been more than 45 million cases and 1,190,000 deaths. So, with all the surging coronavirus cases, is Halloween canceled? Maybe not, but experts do encourage caution, and different activities have different risks. The CDC recommends avoiding higher-risk activities like traditional trick-or-treating, indoor costume parties, and haunted houses. But certain activities with social distancing and masks might be okay. If you're looking for safer alternatives, you could try just pumpkin carving at home, doing a virtual costume contest, or having a home scavenger hunt-style trick-or-treat. For more ideas, head to usatoday.com and search Halloween. Halloween night will feature a spooky treat in the sky, a full moon. And since it's the second full moon of the month, it's known as a blue moon. This will also be the first time that a full moon will be seen in all U.S. time zones on Halloween since 1944, according to the Farmer's Almanac. It won't happen again until 2039. Daylight saving time is coming to an end. Late Saturday night into Sunday morning, it'll be time to set those clocks fall back. Time in most places in the U.S. will go back an hour at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, which will turn into 1 a.m. But not everywhere in the country changes time for daylight saving. Hawaii and most of Arizona opt out, with the exception of the Navajo Nation. And the U.S. territories also don't participate. So instead of changing their clocks, they actually move to different time zones. For example, Arizona is in mountain time during the winter months. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. A reminder, you can subscribe for free and also rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us wherever you get your audio. Thanks as always to Claire Thornton for her work on the show, and she's back with the special Sunday edition right here on this feed. 5 Things is part of the USA Today Podcast Network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs better, safe, and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.